In Matthew 28 and verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." This is Jesus giving the instruction of how he would like, not just would like, but he has commanded, that he would be represented and his truth be perpetuated through the rest of history. And that is by the teaching of all nations, which has behind it the idea of discipling. So it's not just a communication of a word, but it's more of a relationship. It is a working together. It is a edifying. It is a building up. And so through this process, Jesus says to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. This is quite an exhaustive command. To teach them to observe, to understand, to live out all things that I have commanded you. Now, what is it that Jesus Christ has commanded us? What is this thing that he's talking about? Well, we find in 2 Peter chapter 1, what these commands that he has left us, all of the commands together, what they are, why they matter, and how they are going to fulfill the calling to represent him on this earth. In 2 Peter chapter 1, which verse is it, Brother Zach? Here we go. Verse 2. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." How will grace be multiplied? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This requires understanding. "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." All about us, this has always been true, but we sense it very acutely right now. All about us is a world that is given to corruption through its own lust, the pursuing of its own glory, ultimately, and that leads to nothing else but death, the corruption and death. But what God has given us through the knowledge of Jesus Christ is an escape from this, not just a way out, not just a distraction, but actually a conquering of this corruption through lust. And this knowledge of Jesus Christ has suited us and has suited Friendship Church to live a life of godliness, to live a life that really and honestly represents Jesus Christ on this earth. This is, of course, primarily through his revealed word, the word of God. So these aren't, this is not new doctrine for you, but I have discovered that the reality of what we've just seen is really important when I actually step into a position of trying to lead and pastor a flock of God's people. What are we doing here? Where are we going? How do we know how we're going to get there? Well, it's going to happen by the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which is found wholly in His Word. When I say wholly, I mean completely. So, in the first 2 months in Scranton, Arkansas, I have found, as Brother Zach has known about his church for many years, that there's all sorts of different people. There's all sorts of different gifts. There's all sorts of different sin struggles. Some that are just nagging, seemingly nagging. Some that are devastating, that are corrupting relationships and threatening to bring death to them. And so this reality, this great and precious promise of what the knowledge of Jesus Christ gives us, and that is all things that pertain to life and godliness, this has suddenly become very precious to me. Because when I come and I attempt to lead and to counsel these sheep, I don't have to come up with an answer myself. And I guarantee you that is a very stressful thing to try to do, and also fruitless. But Jesus Christ has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so what does this look like? What is our vision at Friendship Church? What is my desire as we move forward with the flock? It's found in Ephesians chapter 4. As we apply and seek out and embrace the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which is found in His Word, as we seek to live it out, this is what it is supposed to produce. This is what it's supposed to look like. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. He gave some apostles. This is Jesus Christ gave some apostles. He gave some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. Now, at Friendship, we have about, I'll say, 25 or so on a regular basis. And even within 25, there's quite a variety of demographic. You have several very seasoned veterans of the faith in age and experience. And you have some who are very young in age and experience. And then you have some that have much desire to serve the kingdom, but there is a need for knowledge of how to do so. And so when I consider this landscape, this is what the goal is. This is what the end is when we are pursuing the knowledge of Jesus Christ through the Word of God. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. And what is our aim? What is our goal? Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And this next verse reminds me of what we are avoiding through the knowledge of Christ that we read earlier, the corruption through our lusts that leads to death. What is this knowledge of Christ going to bring us away from as a body of Christ, as we're pursuing Him and building each other up through the knowledge of Him? What are we going to leave behind? That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And this is yet another reality, a truth that is becoming a reality for me, because even in the name of spirituality, there's many false doctrines. There's many very erroneous ways of thinking that are not faithfully applying the Word of God. And so, in the context of our local church, what is the aim? What is the desire? It is to minister the Word in such a way that our members, our body, are no more being going like this. Oh, here's something exciting to believe. Oh, here's a new idea. But we're grounded and we're centered in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're not carried about by every wind of doctrine, because we understand and we believe and we're pursuing the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And what does this produce instead? Within this body. But speaking the truth in love, the truth that hurts, the truth that exhorts, the truth that sacrifices itself for another. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. It's a very fearful thing. And this is a prayer request that I would ask of you, to pursue this vision at a body and realize, as I was very well instructed at the ordination service, that I'm not sufficient for this task. But nowhere in the scriptures we have just read does it say that you have to do this, and it's dependent upon you. Who's going to perpetuate his body? Who's going to stay faithful to his body and bring them to glory after they have stumbled over and over again and bruised their face from tripping over rocks? Who's going to keep it going? And who's going to bring them home? Well, it's not going to be Andrew Beecham, and it's not going to be Zach Guess. It's going to be Jesus Christ. And so I need him. I need his Spirit to be working, because this is a spiritual warfare. This is a spiritual battleground. So it needs the Spirit for there to be victory. Not fleshly victory. Spiritual victory. One more request I have of you. We read in 1 Peter chapter 5, which is the instruction to me personally in this endeavor. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not by filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. Now, Brother Zach couldn't lord over every one of you, even if he wanted to, because there's too many of you. He could try. But when there's only 20 or so, the enticement to go beyond what my calling is there, because it seems so doable to overmanage, to get too much in the wrong way into people's lives. And so this is another place where I need the Holy Spirit to be giving me wisdom and prudence and understanding as it pertains to my flock. I desire to have oversight and to lead them by example. with a ready mind, but not to be lording over them. And so hopefully with some, no doubt, experiences of embarrassment and failure in the future, Brother Zach's already had it well behind him, that will give me some much needed experience. But this is an area that I see as something to be aware of. And I want to glorify God as I try to be a sub-shepherd. Because I say that because in verse 4 it says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." And so I must be in constant reminder as I lead this flock that it is not my flock. And it's not my work, ultimately. I am a worker in his vineyard, but he's the chief shepherd. He's the chief leader, and he will provide the grace and the wisdom and the strength, all of that in here, for us to do our work. So I ask that you would pray for that effort. It's very exciting and very sobering, but we very much know that we are doing what we're supposed to be doing, what God has called us to. And there's a great peace that comes with that as well. I love you very much. Thank you.